Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to really welcome you this evening as we gather in the backyard to lavish. And here on a Thursday at 8 o'clock, we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And if you are a fan or a member of the Backyard Group, you know we have been celebrating. So tonight is the culmination of all the weeks of celebration. But before we do so, I am going to invite you, like I always do, to take a virtual trip with me. So just get in your easy chair, whether that chair would be on the beach, the roof, the veranda underneath the mango tree. I'm sure it's mango time now. So get your favorite drink. Forget about the worries of the week, of the day, of the moment, because if we know to do nothing else in Jamaica, we know how to chill and have no problem on. So I invite you to be in that space with me virtually, because I've heard Jamaica described as one big tranquilizer. So we who grew up there, or those of you who have visited there, know how we can just chill at the right moment. So let's get into that mood to relax here. You know, when we live in another country, we tend to be so busy that we don't take time to relax and reminisce. So we gather here every Thursday to do just so. And boy, do we have some reminiscing to do tonight, because we have a special treat, because I found some old tapes of the real thing when the actual independence happened. And for me, it was so wonderful to hear the old voices, and just, even though I was not there, but to hear about the occasion in real time. And that's one of the reasons I'm just so excited about this new technology that has allowed me, sort of an old lady, to just participate in all these cool things. So I invite you this evening. First of all, the show is going to be in three different segments. As I mentioned, I found this cool tape that I'm going to play for you. Well, it wasn't actually a tape. It was a video that I converted into a tape. I'm so proud of myself. Anyway, but before we do so, I know that several of us, including myself, attended some celebrating affair this past week or the week before. And if there's anyone that would like to share some highlights of where they'd been and how they felt and what happened, feel free to do so by hitting 1 on your telephone, and that will indicate to me that you're putting up your hand as if you were in school. We're going way back now, folks, not only in our minds to Jamaica, but even when we were in school. So put up your hand and participate in the lavish. So we'll do that for the first couple of minutes, and then I'm going to play you a tape of the pre-independence. I mean, when our founding fathers were sort of putting it together and presented it to the powers that be. So if there's anyone who would like to share what happened or how they celebrated the 50th anniversary, please put your hand up now. Well, in the meantime, I'll tell you that I live in the city of Atlanta, not in the city, but in everywhere is called Atlanta here in Georgia if you're close to it. So I participated in a gala this past Saturday night, and for those fans of Jamaica that know about Byron Lee's Dragonairs, you know that it was really so exciting for me because I had not heard that band play since I really can't remember. So it was such a treat. And believe you me, they're blowing out those sounds like they did in the good old days. So it was just really great. And several times the promoters of the affair mentioned that they had the largest crowd that they've ever had at any affair. And it was so inspiring to see how people came on out, you know, all decked out to really get in the mood and celebrate. So if there's anyone that wants to share something about the independence celebration, either the one they attended or one they ever attended, please feel free to do so, because now I'm going to play for you, if no one puts up their hands, what I found. I'm really so excited about it, and I'm anxious to share. And I must warn you that this is sort of, how should I explain it now? Well, it is a video that's available on YouTube, as you all know, but I can't show a video on the radio. So I had to use some software to tape it and then replay it. So it might not be as pristine as I would like it to be, but I hope you'll enjoy it. So here we go. No hands are going up. So I'm going to play for you. And the title of this is Towards Independence. And, you know, they have a little musical back.
Norman Manley, Premier of Jamaica, as he prepared to leave his homeland for the most momentous of all conferences. The failure in practice of the Federation of the West Indies and its dissolution were common knowledge. Now Jamaica went to the conference table confident in her own future as an independent country and determined to bring the date of fulfillment as near as possible. Large numbers of well-wishers turned out to see him leave from Palisados Airport. With him and the other delegates went the hopes of Jamaica and the country's confidence that regardless of party, all would be together in the common cause of independence. The will of the people had been made clear by the referendum. Now their representatives left to implement the decision. Winged away. The destination, London. Mr. Manley and his wife are no strangers to the capital city of the Commonwealth. They have been there at all seasons of the year, but it was a wintry London which greeted them at the airport. The weather wasn't nearly as cold or bad as it might have been, although earlier planes had been diverted on account of fog. Everybody wanted pictures. Pictures of the man who, by his very position as premier, personifies his country's hopes of independence. When the photographers were satisfied and the world's newspapers had recorded the occasion, Mr. Manley left the airport for the 12-mile journey to the capital itself. Ahead lay the most important few days of his life. The days that would shape the future of his country and bring to reality the hopes of the people he served. Meanwhile, at Palisados Airport, more delegates were leaving Jamaica for the conference. There to see them off was Sir Alexander Bustamante, the leader of the opposition. Sir Alexander was unfortunately unable to attend the opening session, but he was to be there in time for the important discussions which followed. During his absence, the opposition delegates were headed by their deputy leader, Mr. Sangster. Political differences were to play no part in the conference. Although Mr. Manley and Sir Alexander hold divergent views on many subjects, independence was not one of them. In this, the main ideal, all parties were united. Education, Mr. Glasspool, was one of the passengers in the aircraft. He took leave of his family, his friends, and of Sir Alexander. Mr. Glasspool was to play an important part in the discussions and, like all the other delegates, carried a heavy responsibility to plan well for the future. Swiftly and safely accomplished, the photographers were out again in full force. As the opening session came nearer, interest all over the world was building up to a climax. 300 years of British colonial rule were approaching their end. Many struggles there had been, many obstacles to overcome. But all were past, and Jamaica, the happy island of the Caribbean, was moving surely forward in unity to the inevitable and transcendent achievement of independence. February the 1st, 1962, a date which school children will be taught to remember for generations to come. It was the day that saw the beginning of a new chapter in Jamaica's 450 years of recorded history. At Lancaster House, where many such conferences have been held in recent years, the delegates began to arrive. The chair was to be taken by Mr. Reginald Modling, Her Majesty's Secretary of State for the Colonies. Four representatives of the government, four from the opposition, five officials and two secretaries made up the island contingent. Lancaster House was built in 1825 and was originally called York House after Frederick, Duke of York, second son of George III, for whom it was built. It was presented to the nation by the late Lord Leverhulme for use on such occasions as this and renamed Lancaster House. Much of the decoration was by Sir Charles Barry. Since the war, few of any countries have enjoyed such astonishing advances in the field of economic development. This, coupled with maturity in political life and thought, had made it possible for Jamaica to face independence with confidence. It remained to settle the details, for disagreement now could lead to a further period of waiting. While the delegates assembled, Mr. Maudling, Mr. Manley, and Mr. Sangster posed for press photographers in an anteroom. The first meeting was open to the press and later received full coverage in newspapers throughout the world. The future of Jamaica was the question which the conference would decide. Mr. Maudling made the opening speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me very great pleasure to welcome here this morning to Lancaster House the joint parliamentary delegation from Jamaica, who have come here today to determine a date for the independence of their island and to agree upon a suitable constitution. The first task that will face us in this conference is that of drawing up your new constitution. This is a task which, I am told, usually presents very great difficulties on these occasions, since there are so many conflicting interests to be reconciled. It is a great tribute to the maturity of political life in Jamaica that jointly, gentlemen, you appear to have produced for us a draft independence constitution on which there is already a substantial measure of agreement between the two main parties in your legislature who are represented at this table today. I know that this cannot have been easy, and it is surely a very good omen for your future that you have been able in the weeks preceding this conference to iron out so many difficulties for yourselves and to reach such a large measure of agreement. Many people, of course, had hoped that you were going to exercise the political maturity which Jamaica has shown in its parliamentary life upon a wider stage in the Federation of the West Indies in conjunction with your neighbors in the Eastern Caribbean. As you all know so well, however, the Jamaican government last September referred this issue to the electorate in a referendum, and the electorate of Jamaica rejected this possibility. This is a decision which many people in many quarters have regretted. It is, however, as you know, one which the British government feel bound to accept, and we will do what is necessary to implement it when we have obtained the requisite powers from Parliament. If in the course of this conference the joint parliamentary delegation expressed the wish that Jamaica should become a member of the Commonwealth, I can assure you now that the British government will be most happy to sponsor Jamaica's application. The main task, gentlemen, therefore, which faces us in the next few days, are to devise the final form of your constitution, to discuss possible arrangements for running the common services which you share with other governments elsewhere in the Caribbean, and finally, to agree the date for your independence. I am hopeful that all these matters are ones on which we can reach swift and amicable agreement, so that before this year is out, the energetic people of Jamaica can emerge as an independent nation on the world stage.
Mr. Manley then spoke.
Mr. Secretary, this independence conference marks the beginning of the end of a very long road which started over 300 years ago when one of the happy accidents of naval warfare resulted in the capture of Jamaica from the Spanish crown in 1655. The road ends, Mr. Secretary, at a time when all empires decline, when colonialism has become a word of ugly meaning, when the sun sets round the world, chiefly on the flags of free peoples, with whom we hope soon to walk in peace and friendship, when late, but more than ready, we join the great company of the new nations of the world. There is no country in the world not now independent which is more fit to achieve that status than Jamaica now is. Indeed, we have been ready for independence long ago, and no doubt would have achieved it already, but for the fact that as far back as 1949, we committed ourselves to an experimental trial marriage with the other territories of the West Indies, if I may so describe the union in federation now coming to an end. That union, Mr. Secretary, has been terminated by peaceful and democratic means. The process has been, I dare to say, an example to the world of democracy in action. Your government is to be congratulated on the good sense of the decision, which put no obstacle in the way of our holding a referendum to decide whether that federation should endure. Any country that can weld into a harmonious unity the sort of heritage we possess, where people drawn from England and Europe and Africa and all the nations of the East are mingled and mixed in every combination that one can conceive, makes a contribution by example to another great problem of the world. That problem, the problem of interracial harmony and respect, Mr. Secretary, I remind you, is now for the first time in your history a living problem for your country, and on your solution of it much depends for yourself, for my people, and for the Commonwealth and the world. It is because I believe that Jamaica can make a contribution in all these fields that I find it a great moment of pride to come here today surrounded by men from both the great political parties of my country, jointly with them and with you, to determine the questions which this conference will answer in order that we may pass through the gate at the end of the road to our own independence as a nation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it gave me this really chills to hear Mr. Norman Washington Manley deliver his speech. And I wonder if anyone on the board would like to make a comment now before I go into the next segment. I think it's a little shorter. But I was just mesmerized when I heard this verse, and I wonder if anyone noted his points about Jamaica being able to set an example to the world about racial harmony, about people coming from all parts of the world to be united in Jamaica as one. Wow, I see a hand up at 914-655, and I'm going to open the board. Good evening, you've got Margaret all mesmerized here in the backyard. Who do I have?
Good evening, Margaret. This is Carl McDonald from Mount Vernon in New York.
Oh, well, Carl.
I must commend you on the quality of the recording. This historic event. It is so Christmas clear.
All day, but I did it.
Yes. It's really outstanding, the quality. Because usually the quality of recordings that goes back so far usually deteriorates, and I think it's a wonderful preservation.
Thank you, I accept.
Yes, wonderful. What I'd like to say is that I had the privilege of being in Jamaica at the time of the independence celebrations, and I remember when the country voted against the people, they called the plebiscite, that decided against the federation, but they left it, the final word, with Mr. Manley, and he announced that he will make the decision by having a meeting in Halfway Tree Square in Kingston. Mm-hmm. And I was the photographer who the Gleaner sent to cover that moment. And it's remarkable that I lived to see the day that the British flag was lowered and the new Jamaica flag was hoisted, and I captured that special moment with Princess Margaret and Sir Alexander Bustamante as they strode towards the flagpoles, and the photograph shows them walking towards the flag and the flag flowing and fluttering in the background.
Wow.
A remarkable historic picture, which we are going to make available to the public at some point in time, and information, of course, will be given through this organization, the Backyard Labrish program.
Okay.
I really was thrilled when I realized that I had been given the opportunity to join the foreign press to cover that event. And
congratulations. So have you been sitting on this picture for 50 years?
Yes.
My goodness.
You know, it's amazing the history of how from the time it was made, and then the work that was done to show the Princess Margaret and Bustamante walking in. But I had to do a montage to put the flag, superimpose the flag in the background.
I
of the photograph,
see. Yes.
And
yes,
so
yes.
on. So over the years, we did try to make it available to the public, but different things happened and other events that I was involved in as a journalist deterred me from doing anything with it.
I understand. Yes. So I wondered if anyone had heard the speech, because the speech Mr. Manley delivered was done in London when they went up to arrange the whole thing after the referendum. Have you, anyone on the board, heard the speech before, live? If you would, just put your hand up. Carl, did you?
No, I didn't. This is the first time I'm hearing that speech.
Yes. I don't know if it was, there was a reprint in the newspaper after that. I don't know, but I think that the BBC announcer or whoever the announcer was mentioned that the press was not allowed. So I suppose he was, or that the press was there that day. I can't quite remember. But just to hear how he described, you know, with passion, the fact that because of the makeup of Jamaica, it would be a model for the rest of the world.
Yes.
And how the announcer also described Jamaica as being a happy country. Did you hear that part?
Yes, that was really thrilling.
And one of the reasons I wanted to play this, because, you know, somehow I hope that the current Jamaicans and the new Jamaicans will get a little taste, not that they're not passionate now, don't really misunderstand me, but that they will can sort of feel, because when I hear someone talk, I can actually feel their passion. You know, and even though I can see the video, or I had seen the video before, I tried to separate the audio from the video itself, and it was just so inspirational to me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm hoping that everybody else enjoyed it as much as I did. And Carl, I really thank you for letting us know the part you played. And we're going to talk, I have another little blurb about the actual lowering of the flag. Because, you know, we can take virtual trips to anywhere we want because we're blessed with imagination. And we who are participating now, I'm sure, is blessed with memory. It might not be all that good. But, you know, as Jamaica's saying is now, their logo or what they call it is, once you go, you know. So if you've been there, you can visualize the beauty of everything. Am I not correct?
You're correct. And what I observed, which Mr. Manley referred to, was the harmony. It was total agreement on both sides of the political aisle in Jamaica, who agreed on the decision to become independent and to go through the process.
And I hope the new the new politicians will really, you know, walk in the footsteps.
Yeah, they were more harmonious. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And if you hit one, it will disengage you. And so if you want to hit, if you want to talk again, just hit one again. Because if you don't do that, then I don't know when you want to interact. Okay?
Okay, I stand by.
All right, thank you. Well, is there anyone else on the board that would like to make a comment? Okay, I suppose not. So what I'm going to take you now is to the next half of what went on in the special house, that the all of this discussion was being made before. This is pre-independence, remember. So here we go. Let me see if I can find my part two. All right.
Mr. Sangster followed for the parliamentary opposition, but there was no divergence of policy about independence.
Mr. Secretary, I speak on behalf of the opposition. We have listened with great interest to your remarks, and we reciprocate your good wishes for a successful conference. The Premier has told you something about the events leading up to this conference. Jamaica has been independent-minded for a long time. You have only to read the reports of the parliamentary debates of 200 years ago to realize that even then, the colonials of those days wanted their own way of life. We started on the last road to independence in 1938, but we paused on the way to head federation. Then in 1959, my party began the campaign to take Jamaica out of federation. Here, let me borrow from the words of Brutus. It was not that we loved others less, but we loved Jamaica more. We have political stability. We have created a two-party system of democratic government patterned on your own. We have accepted the rule of law. We are building up an economy as fast as we can with the means at our disposal. There may be differences of opinion as to methods, but there is no difference as to the objectives. Jamaica has shown her clear choice for that way of life that provides freedom for the individual. We are a small country, but we are geographically situated like a beacon on a hill whose light can be seen a far way off. It is our hope that our faith and our conduct will inspire others to regain their faith in God, in truth, and in the sanctity of the rights of man.
After the opening session was over, the doors of Lancaster House were closed to the press and foreign observers. The deliberations were too important to be interfered with by publicity or influences from outside. On the same day that the conference opened in London, Sir Alexander left Palisados Airport on his way to join his colleagues around the conference table. On February the 2nd, he arrived in London, and that same day was at Lancaster House to add the wisdom of his long experience to the discussions. Alexander, like Mr. Manley, is no stranger to the United Kingdom, and all his many friends were delighted that he was back in the capital again. Lancaster House, the conference, which lasted from the 1st to the 9th of February, was going well. Although the press were not admitted, daily communiques were issued, and the world was able to follow the progress of the conference. Each communique told the same story: agreement on all the major points under discussion. The conference was going well, very well indeed. Then, on the 9th, the doors were opened again, and the press admitted to witness the most historic scene of all, the signing of the report of the conference, which was an agreement of independence. Independence on August the 6th, 1962. It was a moment of triumph for the delegates from Jamaica. They had succeeded completely in all they had set out to do. Mr. Modling, Mr. Manley, and Sir Alexander Bustamante addressed the final session.
This is the closing session of the conference, and I have it in command from Her Majesty the Queen to convey to the delegates her sincere thanks for your kind congratulations on the 10th anniversary of her accession, and her good wishes to the government and people of Jamaica for the future of your country. This conference opened with very high hopes that have been entirely fulfilled. I think there can seldom have been a conference that has been so completely successful. There has been full agreement reached on all the detailed problems that remain to be discussed, and full agreement also reached on the date of the 6th of August for the independence of Jamaica to become effective. I think, gentlemen, this arises for two causes. First, because of the great political maturity of the people of Jamaica, and secondly, because of the careful preparations made before this conference took place. I think it is remarkable how government and opposition have worked together, both in the period of preparation and at this conference itself. And I'm sure this is a very happy augury indeed for the future of Jamaica. It only remains for me, gentlemen, to thank you for your cooperation, to congratulate you on the success of this, your conference, and to wish you all possible success and fortune in the future.
Mr. Secretary, as you have just said, this conference has been remarkable for the speed and harmony with which decisions have been reached and the future of a nation planned. As time goes on, Mr. Secretary, and indeed before many months, if not weeks, have passed, you may well look back on this occasion with nostalgic recollections of the goodwill and friendliness that has prevailed, not only between your government and mine, but as well between us all here, who, though we fight in our own home for our own purposes, find it natural to combine where the future of our country is concerned. May I thank you, and may I thank Mr. Hugh Fraser for your sympathetic attention to our wishes and our needs, which have resulted in the fact that our wishes have prevailed. And may I thank your officials and the staff who have served us for the efficiency and kindness of their invaluable help.
And so it was over. Jamaica would be independent in less than 6 months. It was triumph indeed.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what class, what, I mean, it's just really inspiring how the forefathers were just so eloquent and gracious, and everything was presented, you know, with, we can be so proud of it. And I do hope that the young, the politicians now and those to come will really reflect on how the people who had the vision and the and made the plan were so organized and structured, you know, about bringing the whole thing together. So it's not just for us that I wanted to play this, because, you know, the younger generation would rather listen or watch than read. So I'm hoping, you know, I know that I won't be here for the next big celebration, which would be 100 years, neither with a whole lot of us even listening now, but because of this marvelous technology that we have really been blessed to have, it will be there. And you know, these videos are available. I think that the Library of Jamaica is what where I found them. I can't remember. That is because of them. They're all on YouTube, so if you'd like to watch the video, I think you can just Google Before Independence is the caption on those two, if you want to see the action, you know, attached to the words. But I hope you were able to use your imagination when the soundtrack was on. But even the nostalgic type of music really was quite thrilling to me. So if there's anyone on the board that wanted to comment now, please. And, you know, guys, you're making me feel quite lonely. Remember, this is a lab-ish. So I invite you, you know, to participate with your comments or your ideas. I see 516244 has answered the call. So your mic is open. This is Margaret. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Hi, welcome, Janine. Welcome. It's nice to hear you.
Yes, I'm still not back home as yet. That's why, you know, I haven't been on.
Yes, yes. Well, we're just happy to have you tonight.
Yeah, thanks. I was able to, so I said, let me take the chance and see what happens, you know.
Yes.
So I'll take the opportunity and come on and see how long I can stay on. So,
yes, yes.
But I agree with you so much, and it was really a privilege to listen to that. You know, it was,
Were you in Jamaica, actually, when the independence took place?
62, yes, I was, yes.
Ah, yeah. Well, you know, this was pre-independence. This was in February,
right,
when the two parties went to London to get the whole thing, I mean, approved, I suppose. So
yes.
I didn't even know this existed, because I didn't know what the process was, because I left Jamaica in 1959 and really was not keeping up with what was going on where that is concerned.
Yes.
It was quite thrilling for me to learn it. And, you know, I'm always learning when I do the research on the past.
Yes.
And I just got so excited that I thought I had to find some way of sharing it tonight.
Yes. Well, I was actually 16 when the independence, so.
Yes.
I didn't really, to be honest, pay much attention to certain things.
Right. You know, as teenagers, we didn't.
Right.
So,
yes.
I mean, just like the teenagers now. And it brings me to the point that I want to continue to encourage the seniors to not, you know, put too much credence on the fact that the teenagers now don't seem to be interested in the past, because we were like that. I know I was. And even in my early 20s, you know, I was busy with getting my game on. So, you know, I wasn't interested. But now as I grow older, I mean, I can't get enough.
Yes, exactly.
And I know that period would come forth for them. So
yes.
I'm encouraging everybody, you know, to not let that deter you from leaving a legacy in one way or another.
Exactly.
And participating in this program is leaving a legacy.
Yes.
So I really appreciate you tuning in today, and I really hope that your recuperation is going to be speedy.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. And let me open up the mic again for Mr. Carl. Did you have anything further to say, Mr. Carl? I have one little more tape. It's very short that I'm going to play.
Yeah, I share the welcome and that the recuperation of Janine will be wonderful and soon.
Yeah,
thank you.
You also mentioned, Margaret, that you weren't sure if the Gleaner was covering the story of the conference. But you'll notice that the commentator did mention that communiques were issued along the way, and I'm sure...
Oh, yes.
Yes, it was directed to the Gleaner and other
right.
news.
I didn't know if they had the speech verbatim, you know, if it was detailed.
Yeah.
Because I would like to take this opportunity to just... I'm going to read something that was said by Mr. Manley and Sir Alexander at the actual independence itself. But in those articles, they only had excerpts of the speech, but not the entire speech. So do you know if the entire speech was covered?
I believe it was. I believe it was.
Oh, okay.
And it's...
I mean, the one in London, not the one in Jamaica that night.
Yeah, yes, I know, the London.
Okay.
It was covered. I was going to say that I'm forgetting exactly the point I was going to make, but there was a lot of... I didn't realize, for example, that it took six days
uh-huh.
at Lancaster House that they had that conference.
Right. Every day they were in conference. So what
yes.
we heard is just what they allowed the press to broadcast.
Right, right.
Yeah, interesting. All those things I didn't know. So it was quite an education for me.
And then it was 6 months after that, then we actually had the celebration.
Right. And so it was declared from there that it was going to be the 6th, that the official day was going to be the 6th.
Right.
But, of course, they had to start it from the, I suppose, the night before for it to be officially at when the clock struck. 12 or whatever. Was that the kind of thing that went on in Jamaica?
I believe that I'm not sure, but I believe that was the situation. And this is why some of us have it as the 5th.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
I think the celebration started on the 5th
and then went down at 12 o'clock, the Union
yes.
Jack.
Yes, I think that's how it happened.
Official on the 6th. The
yes.
first second of the 6th. That the Jamaican flag went up.
Right.
That brings me to mind. I am going to, and I wonder if there are any military people listening online or on their computer, because what we're going, you know, I must tell you that I was in Queen Alexandra's Royal Army Nursing Corps, which operated in Jamaica at the time in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
and just hearing this clip really brought back a lot of memories. So let me play that for you all now, and then we will have open mic after that. But this is the hang in there. Let me close that and find the one that I want to Jamaica Gains Independence here. Boy, I'm
it's
telling
about
you.
Mongoose, right? That song was about mongoose.
But once in the history of a people. At 3 minutes to midnight, the flag of Jamaica is borne into the arena by runners of the Boys' Brigade and received by the Prime Minister, who hands it to a warrant officer of the Jamaica Defense Force.
Oh, this is glory.
His Excellency the Governor and the Prime Minister take up their positions facing the royal box.
Right! General, salute! Reserve!
The British flag, which has flown over Jamaica for the past three centuries, is about to be replaced by the Jamaica national flag, heralding the birth of the new nation. The lights go out. The Union Jack is lowered, and the new flag of Jamaica raised. Of a people. At 3 minutes to
kill it. Okay. Oh, what a trick.
Yes.
Well, I hope the rest of the listeners on the board really enjoyed it as much as I did, because as usual, whenever this old girl finds something new and interesting and historic, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. So I've had a great, great day just piecing these things together and just listening to it. So I would like to now open the board to anyone that might like to share how, if they were there, what they remembered, or any of the celebrations that went on, or if they have anything to contribute in any way. So just let me know by hitting 1 on your telephone. In the meantime, Miss Janine, while I wait for a hand, did you have anything else that you wanted to share?
My baby sister was born on Independence Day.
Really? So
she just celebrated her 50th birthday this year.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful. Great occasion to be born on.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. So I will, along with you, congratulate her.
Yes.
So did you? I've gotten wonderful pictures of from all over the country. Really, I got a set of pictures from Ontario. They had a real big celebration.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had 1,500 people.
Yeah.
I got pictures from Toronto. And, of course, I attended the fair here in Atlanta. And I also got information for galas just all over the country. But the interesting thing is that, I think I heard someone mention that, there's still about 2.5 million people in Jamaica. But they estimate that the Jamaicans who were born in Jamaica and scattered all over the world is more than that. They have the estimate of 2.7 million.
Oh.
So, there's a joke going around that if everybody went back to the island at the same time, it would perhaps sink. because we have more we than there. So I thought that was quite interesting. But, you know, the affair and the idea was supported so wonderfully by people who, a lot of people who was not actually there or have left long ago. But still there is this strong connection and love for the country, even though they might not plan to ever go back for good.
Yeah.
You know, when
they
say for
celebrated,
good.
They celebrated the independence. They had an independence ball at the Hilton Hotel in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And my sister was mostly in charge. I mean, not completely, but she was into it a lot. And
yes.
Said they didn't have tickets to sell. It was wall to wall.
Yes,
so
people,
many people
really came
yes.
out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and it shows that
too.
Right, you're breaking up for some reason. I know you're on. Perhaps
I'm on,
in a,
I'm on my cell phone. That's why.
Oh, I got. Uh huh.
Yes.
All right, we can hear you better now. You were saying.
The Prime Minister also attended it. She came up for it.
Oh, really?
Yes, she was there.
I thought she was in Washington, but she was in New York.
Yes, she was there for the Independence Ball on the 18th. You know,
yes, it was after. And we here in Atlanta, we had the ambassador, the Jamaica ambassador to the United States, and he's Dr. Stephen Vassiani.
Mm-hmm.
And guest speaker here, and most of the ambassadors were guest speaking all over the world, really. I read about one being in London
mm-hmm.
for that affair, and they were kept on different dates, I think.
Yes,
but
yes.
It was just, and as I said, you know, most of us are not just, perhaps just a few of us will be here
yes.
for the next 50.
Yes.
So, you know, leaving this a legacy about what we experienced.
Right.
Growing up in Jamaica. I mean, when I was there, independence didn't even, you know, go through my mind. Because when you're young, you're not interested in politics.
Yeah.
Especially if you are in a middle-class family. You know, it's not important. It was not that important to me at the time.
No, you
and
hear it around you with the older people, but for some way you didn't have the interest that they had, you know?
Right. And they're no longer here, so we have sort of taken over the torch.
Right.
And we have to be encouraging to the next generation, you know,
mm-hmm.
the importance of being together as a country, you know, as one of the speakers said, the objectives are the same. It's the same principle, even though you might use different techniques to
right.
get what you need to get done. But we need to do it in peace and love and realize that you can get things done much faster when there's some sort of agreement. As in this situation, everyone was lauding the fact that it was so smooth. So that's one of the things I want to point out, you know, both on Her Majesty's side, her representative kept saying how well and it flowed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to really take that into consideration and make an effort
right.
to have negotiations or whatever the differences may be sort of straightened out in a more polished,
way.
You know, easier way to get it
mm-hmm.
done, because it can get a job done faster, because somebody
mm-hmm.
usually have to compromise. I don't know how much had to be done in that situation, but it certainly
yeah.
was being lauded as a very, you know, smooth affair.
Yes. At that time.
It's important. Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
It's important to note that at the time of the negotiating and the conference in London at Lancaster House, that Mr. Manley, Norman Manley, was then prime minister and leader of the delegation that had the discussions with the British government those 9 days, and Bustamante was the leader of the opposition. Now, when they returned to Jamaica, there was
an election. And he lost, right?
And Manley lost, and it was somewhat of a blow to the other side and to some people who expected that since he represented Jamaica, he would have carried Jamaica through from being a colony into independence.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bustamante won, that is the party, and he, as the leader of the party, was the official leader and the first prime minister of independent Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And it
was
fascinating. And also, the Queen was unable, I forget the reason why she was unable to attend, but Princess Margaret was sent to represent the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, and she came with her husband, Anthony Armstrong Jones, who also happened to be a photographer, by the way.
Hmm.
And I remember they traveled across from Kingston by railway into Montego Bay, and we, the press, followed them, you know, accompanied them and covered all the events along the way in both directions. Yes.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps, Mr. McDonald, you need to write a book about the life of and times of a photographer pre-independence.
There's a lot of information and some very interesting events that took place pre-independence and also post-independence.
Right, because I remember you sharing the story of the unscheduled meet-up with the Queen.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I remember dubbing it Royal Secret, only to be heard on Backyard Labyrinth.
it was fascinating, because the fascinating thing about it was that we usually have a pre-meeting with the press that they understand what the protocol was. And the main important thing was that we were instructed that we don't say anything to the Queen unless she says something to you first.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was, when they were trying to find the key to open the padlock to have access to the grave of the former Prime Minister Norman Manley. There she was within arm's reach. I mean, I could touch her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I knew that I dare not lift my camera because I'd be discredited or that I'd take away my accreditation.
Right.
But it was fascinating. They eventually had to break the lock and open the gate that she could attend, at least go in and see the grave.
Well, she was laying a wreath. And you mentioned the former Prime Minister. You were talking about Sir Alexander Bustamante.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Sir Alexander Bustamante, of course, he presided over eventually the Heads of Commonwealth Conference, which I also attended, and so on. Yes.
I see. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a little after 9. We've used up our hour. And unless you have a comment to make, I want to remind the listeners that may come by later that we're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock. And we are open to suggestions as to what you'd like us to discuss. As you know, But the Backyard also celebrated its goal of having our shows collectively listened to 50,000 times. So we also want to mention that in our celebration, because we had set that as a goal to reach before the 50th independence, and we did it. So what we're going to be doing now is the possibly at some date we will announce that we will not necessarily be having a show every week, because as you know, I'm a loner in terms of I have not had anyone volunteer to be my co-host yet. So I am doing the research and making sure everything is authentic and all of that. And I have some wonderful shows in the archives that I would like to direct my listeners to. So if you would like to be on my list to receive the promo, please go to backyardlabrish.com and just send us a little note saying in the questions and request or something on the website that you can send us a message. Just say, please add me to your list, and I will be sure to let you know, and I'm sure you will find several shows of interest. And I want to take this opportunity to thank. I want to read part of the speech that I saw on Pieces of the Past, which is, it's been published in a book now by the Gleaner Company, but it's actually put together by Dr. Rebecca Tortello. And it's under the Independence. It's, if you go to Pieces of the Past, that is, at the Gleaner Company's website and hit on the Independence tab, you will find this excerpt from the two founders of our independence, really, their speech. Bustamante responded to Princess Margaret and addressing Jamaicans at home and abroad as the island's first prime minister. He cautioned on that same August 7th morning. Independence means the opportunity for us to frame our own destiny and the need for us to rely on ourselves in so doing. It does not mean a license to do as we would like. It means work and law and order. Let us resolve to build a Jamaica which will last and of which we and generations to come will be proud, remembering that, especially at this time, the eyes of the world are upon us. Bustamante's message was also carried in a special supplement in the New York Times, commemorating Jamaica's independence. So that was what Mr. Bustamante had to say, which is so relevant today. Because, you know, the people of today should realize that independence does not give them a license to do as they please. It means they have to work with law and order. And I am hoping that the young generation will really, really take those words seriously. So let me share with you what Mr. Manley excerpts from Mr. Manley's speech. It says here, Norman Manley, then leader of the opposition, also reminded the nation, we stand here today surrounded by an unseen host of witnesses who, through all our history, strove to keep alight the torch of freedom and what of the future. We have come to independence prepared and ready to shoulder our new responsibilities and unite, I believe, in one single hope that we may make our small country a safe and happy home for all our people. And there's a lot of message in that last paragraph. So with that, I am really hoping and praying, and I hope you all will join me in really, really being sincere in the hope that the request and call from these two leaders will resonate with the young generation of Jamaicans, because we, as one of the speakers at in London said, we can be a beacon for the rest of the world to show how people of all ethnic backgrounds can live together in peace and harmony on a beautiful island paradise. Amen. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to really...
Before you go,
Uh-huh.
Before you go, I just want to mention that that song you played before the speech was Slide Mangoose.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes, it's good how I love these kind of, nostalgic moments because it triggers our memory. And that is a very good exercise for senior citizens.
I invite
my friends online, those listening on their computers, to search the archives. There are several shows that we did about almost every subject you can think of. And you will be sure to find something that you can listen to while you check your email or relax. So you can just listen to the show. So with that said, Carl and Janine, thank you for interacting with me. And as I say each week, you have the power, ladies and gentlemen, to make it a great week.
Amen.
So good night. I thank you for being
good
here.
Night.
My pleasure.
We're going to say, I am here. We are here each week at 8:00 in the backyard to Labrish, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, all together now.
Land we love.
Good night.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you too. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.